From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
It's 65 degrees and cloudy in Lawrence. The time is 6:06.
To All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, hosting the community open house Get to Know the Spencer Museum, May 11th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. More at spencerart.ku.edu.
Stay tuned. Coming up, news headlines at 6:30. Then, state weather networks need money. We will find out why. We'll also have a conversation with a professor in Germany about the review of the 1972 Munich Olympics terrorist attack that killed 11 Israeli athletes. We will also have a bit of a postcard from upstate New York. All of this coming up on KPR. Stay tuned. Following All Things Considered on your KPR One stations tonight, we have Classics Live, followed by Classical Music with Destiny and Mermaiden. Tonight, being a Thursday, we have Tango Music lined up for you, also some Prokofiev and some Handel. It'll all be followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stay tuned for KPR Presents, followed by news from the BBC World Service. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the morning. In the afternoon, we have a 60% chance of rain and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow in the upper 60s. If we do see storms, we're expecting them sometime between 3 and 7. That's in sort of the general Topeka-ish area. Highs tomorrow in the upper 60s. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. It's 65 degrees in Lawrence, 63 in Abilene, 64 in Emporia. The time is 6:20. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition comes your way on both KPR 1 and KPR 2. A great way to start off your morning with the latest information. News headlines coming your way in about a minute. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Slight chance of rain tomorrow morning, 60% chance of rain tomorrow afternoon. Could see some thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow in the upper 60s with temperatures falling in the afternoon. It's 65 degrees in Lawrence and 68 in Topeka. The time is 6:30.
Miller in Salt Lake City.
Stocks rallied on Wall Street today. The Dow gained 524 points, up 1.5%. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A law barring transgender women from women's bathrooms, locker rooms, prisons, and domestic violence shelters will become law in Kansas. Rose Conlin has the details.
Kansas Republicans overrode Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto to pass the sweeping measure, which will also bar transgender people from changing their sex on driver's licenses and other documents. Proponents say it'll keep biological women safer in public spaces, but it came amid fierce opposition from Democrats like Representative Brandon Woodard.
This has been deemed the most anti-LGBT, the most anti-trans bill in the entire country. I thought we were better than that in Kansas.
The law will also put Kansas domestic violence shelters at risk of losing federal funding by forcing them into non-compliance with anti-discrimination rules. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rose Conlin in Wichita.
A bill that would specify parents' rights in public school classrooms will not become law in Kansas. As Suzanne Perez reports, lawmakers once again failed to override Governor Laura Kelly's veto.
The bill is a pared-down version of a parent's bill of rights that the governor vetoed last year. It would let parents pull their children out of any activity they find inappropriate. Opponents say it would have led to bans on lessons about race, gender, or other controversial topics. Democratic Representative Jerry Stogsdill voted against the override, saying parents can already ask for alternative assignments.
And it seems to me like the Kansas House of Representatives does not see the reason to even have local school boards. Everything should be run from here in Topeka, obviously. That's absolutely wrong.
More than two dozen U.S. states have introduced bills that seek to expand parents' rights in schools. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
Kansas will soon have new work requirements for some people receiving food stamps. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly vetoed a bill requiring able-bodied Kansans between the ages of 50 and 59 to work 30 hours a week to get food assistance. Kansas Republicans overrode that veto today. Opponents have said it would take food away from people who need it. Republican Senate President Ty Masterson says people who work fewer than 30 hours only need to enroll in work training programs to keep their benefits.
Like everything has to be built around a government program and a handout. This doesn't forcefully take anybody off. Gives them all the opportunity to work and participate.
Similar work requirements already exist for people under the age of 50.
Support for NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Eagle's Rest, the locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence, with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Sisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
Stay tuned. We still have another 11-ish minutes of All Things Considered. If you're joining us on KPR One tonight, stick around for Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny and Nurmagomedov. It's Tango Thursday. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. That will be followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night. If KPR 2 is more your thing, stay tuned for KPR Presents with Kay McIntyre, followed by news through the overnight hours from the BBC World Service. Mostly cloudy skies in the forecast tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, a 60% chance of rain in the afternoon. We will have a slight chance of showers in the morning. Chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon as well. 3 to 7 p.m. is kind of when we're thinking the Lawrence / Topeka area. Highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures falling through the afternoon. 40% chance of rain tomorrow evening. Lows in the lower 40s.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
It's 65 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
The Daily Show's Roy Wood Jr. will be the headliner at this weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner. But can he change the movers and shakers' minds as well as make them laugh? On the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for morning edition. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is, of course, KPR. Up next, a fresh Rule Joyce recital featuring a great young cellist, Daniel Young, with pianist Alex Lee. Chamber music by Nadia Boulanger, also Rachmaninoff, Astor Piazzolla. All of this coming up on Classics Live. Stay tuned.
Reach an engaged and influential audience by becoming a KPR corporate sponsor. It's an efficient, effective way to recognize your business and support public media. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, providing Lawrence and surrounding communities with yoga instruction by Iyengar yoga instructors since 1999. Class schedule and registration information at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Slight chance of rain tomorrow morning, 60% chance of rain, and a chance of storms tomorrow afternoon. This is KPR. The time is 7:01. Classics Live is next.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darrell Brogdon with a Rule Joyce recital today from Johnson County Community College's Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts. Two female composers start off the show, then stay tuned for Sergei Rachmaninoff and then Astor Piazzolla. Our two Kansas City musicians today are cellist Daniel Young and pianist Alex Lee. Here they are now with the 1861 Cello Sonata by Louise Farrakh. At the time she wrote this, she'd been a professor of music at the Paris Conservatory for almost 20 years.
Thank you. Teacher of Aaron Copland, Philip Glass, or Esther Piazzolla. She was the first woman to conduct many major orchestras, including BBC Symphony and the London Philharmonic. And she was also a great composer and organist. Unfortunately, after her sister Lily's passing, when they were both in their 20s, she did not compose much anymore. So these three pieces was initially written for organ. They all have very different styles and a picture. So the first one is a very melancholic number with very colorful sonorities. The second one is a strict canon between the piano and the cello. So whatever Daniel would play, I will always follow up half a beat later. And the third one is an exciting close to the set.
Thank you.
Up next is Rachmaninoff, who was freshly out of a period of depression after his public failure. Well, it's not really that much of a failure, but he perceived it as a public failure of his premiere of his first symphony. And among these works that he wrote after 3 years of writer's block is his famous piano concerto number 2, that was opus 18, and then the cello sonata is opus 19. So there are some parallels between the two works. There is his signature melancholy, and he also have written an ultimate victory against this depression.
Thank you. Thank you.
last piece on the program today is by Argentinian composer Astor Piazzolla, who developed what's now known as the Nuevo Tango. And it is one of our favorite styles to play for the both of us. So I hope you will enjoy this, and thank you again for coming, and I hope you all have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Was Le Grand Tango, written in 1982 by the father of the Nuevo Tango style, Astor Piazzolla, with cellist Daniel Jung and pianist Alex Lee. Daniel Jung is currently principal cellist for Kansas City's Westwood Ensemble.
With a master's in music from UMKC's Conservatory of Music, look for Daniel playing in local groups, the Midwest Chamber Ensemble, and the St. Joseph Symphony. You can also find Daniel playing in a less formal setting called Porch Music Kansas City. Pianist Alex Lee is currently working on his piano performance master's in music at UMKC, while acting as a graduate teaching assistant in the collaborative piano program there. Thank you for joining us today for their Rule Joyce recital here in the recital hall of the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. The concert was recorded by KPR's Chuck Smith. Cordelia Brown is our Classics Live producer. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
That's by Andrea Clearfield. Her Reminiscence for English Horn and Piano, recorded in KPR's live performance studio, featuring Ellen Summer Piano and Margaret Marco at the English Horn. This is Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Thanks for joining us for Classics Live, only on KPR. We're Kansas Public Radio from KU, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence, KANH, KANH HD1, Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The Biden administration is strongly encouraging Americans to leave Sudan in the next day or two. The U.S. has not announced any plans for an evacuation, but the State Department says it's offering advice, as NPR's Mikhail Kellerman reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's working to extend a ceasefire between fighters loyal to two generals vying for power in Sudan. The U.S. had to pull its embassy staff out, but Blinken says diplomats are still trying to help American citizens.
We are providing the best possible advice that we can to anyone asking for our assistance about conditions, about safety, about security, so that they can make decisions with the most information possible about what they want to do.
The U.S. has been gathering intelligence about safe routes, and the U.S. has ships near Port Sudan, but there are no plans for them to evacuate Americans. Saudi Arabia is operating ferries. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
On the heels of similar actions in some other states, lawmakers in Kansas have put in place what may be the most sweeping measure yet, governing access to bathrooms for transgender individuals. The GOP-controlled legislature, overriding Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto of a bill that would apply the law to more facilities and that will define male and female sex in law based on a person's reproductive anatomy at birth. The Kansas law is set to take effect July 1st. Today is the last day for public comment on early proposals to change how the next census and federal surveys ask about race and ethnicity. It appears Hansi Luong reports a final decision by a White House agency is expected next year that could change the government's statistics used to draw voting maps and enforce civil rights protections.
The 2020 census asked about Hispanic or Latino origins and then separately asked about race. Close to 44% of Latinos either did not answer the race question or said they identify with, quote, some other race. That could be addressed by a proposal to ask about race or ethnicity in one question. But Nancy Lopez, a University of New Mexico sociologist, is concerned that would allow people to only check a box for Hispanic or Latino.
It creates the falsehood that there is no racial stratification within this category we call Latino.
Lopez says data about how Latinos are racialized, whether white, black, brown, or another category, is needed to address discrimination. Hansi Luong, NPR News.
First-time jobless claims fell last week, with the labor market continuing to show strength despite some weakness in other areas of the economy. Labor Department reporting today that for the week ending April 22nd, the number of Americans filing first-time jobless claims fell by 16,000 to a total of 230,000. Strong gains on Wall Street as investors responded to the stronger-than-expected earnings numbers from Facebook parent Meta. The Dow jumped 524 points today. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the advancement of international peace and security. More information is available online at carnegie.org. 70 years here for you. We are KPR.
Stardate April 27th. Modern astronomy is a data factory. Big surveys look at thousands or millions of objects, and even bigger surveys will observe even more objects in the decades ahead. Even with all the grad students in the world, though, there's no way to look through all those stars, galaxies, and other objects by hand. Astronomers are using artificial intelligence for help. Clever algorithms and lots of computing power can sift through mountains of data to ID different types of objects, and they can point out the most interesting ones for detailed follow-up. An example is a recent project by astronomers in India. They used machine learning to sift through 277,000 objects cataloged by an X-ray space telescope. The astronomers fed all the details into their computers. They added some observations by other telescopes in space and on the ground. They then entered details about known X-ray objects. The computer software compared the known objects to those in the catalog. That taught it how to know what was what. With its newfound knowledge, it then categorized the objects in the catalog. It identified 33,000 galaxies with giant black holes in their hearts, 16,000 X-ray stars, 5,000 newly forming stars, plus dead stars, binary systems, and other objects. Astronomers can now use those objects in their studies of the X-ray universe. New raw materials from the Astronomical Data Factory. More about big data tomorrow. Stardate is made possible in part by the support of our much-appreciated listeners. You can find out more at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you.
This day in 1749, Handel's Music for the Royal Fireworks premiered in Green Park, London, and we just heard it here on KPR with Sir Charles McCarris and the English Chamber Orchestra. Explosive indeed. Ha ha ha. Get it? Okay, great. Hi there. Happy Thursday. I'm Destiny, your host of Evening Classical, and I have some lovely music planned for us this evening. Of course, it's Tango Thursday, so I have to come up with something tango-related. That is going to be for the end of our hour. But before I tell you about what's up next, guess what is Saturday? It's the Moth Radio Hour. Stories about strength of will, crystallizing under pressure, and the power of intentionally directed anger. Self-described unathletic man Steve Clark signs up for the Philadelphia Marathon. Amber Phillips learns the art of tension. Hear those stories and more on the Moth Radio Hour, Saturday at 5. That sounds really great. Well, you know what else is great? Here's my segue. One of, arguably, Prokofiev's greatest musical works of all time, his Piano Concerto No. 3. Ooh, it's good. And we are about to dive into it together here on KPR. It's Simon Rattle conducting the Berlin Philharmonic and Long Long. Enjoy.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty great. Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3 here on KPR with Simon Rattle conducting the Berlin Philharmonic and Long Long. There is so much good music out there. How can we possibly play it all? Hey, we're coming to the end of my week here at KPR. Of course, I'm back next week. And you know, I need some listener requests for next week. You know how you can let me know? You can go to kansaspublicradio.org, or you can even find me directly at destinyviolin.com. I have a little form. You can email me. I really love listener requests. It makes my job fun. And heck, this isn't a job. I get to play music and listen to it with you. So spice it up for me. Throw me something that most people haven't heard before. I like playing new and fun things that might shock people to think, wow, that actually exists. There's some good stuff out there. And, of course, we love our supporters here, and I have to thank the zoo. I love the zoo. I probably belong in one. Support for classical music on KBR comes from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Roar and Pour. That's creative. Wine Fest, a fundraiser and wine tasting event featuring a silent auction, live music performers, and more. Saturday. Tickets at topekazoo.org/roarandpour. All right, in honor of Tango Thursday, I have something short and sweet to delight you, and I hope you enjoy it. It's Alexander Glazunov's Spanish Serenade here on KPR with John Elliott Gardner, the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, and Stephen Isserlis, cello. Thank you. Glazunov's Spanish Serenade here on KPR. I am Destiny. Thanks for being here with me all week and listening to music. Jazz in the Night is up next after NPR News, and I will be back, hopefully, with some of your listener requests next week and more music here on Kansas Public Radio.
Breakfast, they say, is the most important meal of the day. And Morning Edition brings you the most important news of the day.
Yo, Chris, what is a yo-yo car sale?
And also stories like that. We're asking the tough questions.
So if I'm a Beyoncé fan, what is the process of getting a ticket?
We take the world as it comes, and you can come along with us on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. on KPR. Celebrating 70 years on air, we're Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The White House says it is working to help Americans flee from Sudan amid the ongoing conflict between two rival military factions. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports the Biden administration is under pressure to facilitate evacuations as other countries work to get their citizens out.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration is working continuously to create options for American citizens who want to leave Sudan.
We have deployed U.S. intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets to support air and land evacuation routes, and we are moving naval assets within the region to be pre-positioned to provide any necessary support.
The Biden administration got U.S. diplomats and embassy staff out last weekend. White House officials say they repeatedly advised the thousands of private American citizens who live in Sudan to leave as the security situation there got worse. But the U.S. government is not planning a mass evacuation. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
The FBI has arrested three Republican officials in upstate New York for allegedly conspiring to acquire and cast absentee ballots illegally. Federal prosecutors say their goal was to influence a local election. More from NPR's Brian Mann.
Richard Crist, James Gordon, and Leslie Wallace hold leadership posts in Rensselaer County's local government near Albany. According to the FBI, the men used fraud and intimidation in 2021 to pressure county employees to obtain and cast absentee ballots in other voters' names during a local election. If convicted on conspiracy charges, the three face up to 10 years in prison. FBI officials say they're still looking for other voters whose ballots may have been tampered with or cast improperly. Steve McLaughlin, the Republican who serves as Rensselaer County's top executive, issued a statement saying the men are innocent until proven guilty, adding, quote, members of our team will have their day in court. Brian Mann, NPR News.
WNBA All-Star Brittany Griner says she'll keep fighting for American citizens detained overseas as she was for 10 months last year. Griner held her first press conference since being released from Russian custody in December. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Emotional at some moments, laughing and joking at others, Brittany Griner didn't offer details of her months-long ordeal in Russia. She did talk about how her basketball training and looking at family photos helped her endure what the U.S. government called Griner's wrongful detention on drug charges. She also had advice for citizens still being held in Russia and elsewhere.
Don't give up. Just keep waking up. Find a little routine. Just keep pushing. Because we're not going to stop fighting. We're not going to stop bringing awareness to everyone that's left behind right now.
The longtime All-Star continues to sharpen her skills with the new WNBA season starting next month. Griner is rejoining the Phoenix Mercury after missing all of last season. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR. The sound of the Jerry Springer Show, a cacophony of bad behavior that made the host and former Cincinnati mayor a household name. His publicist says Springer passed away today at his Chicago home following a brief illness. He was 79 years old. NPR's Chloe Veltman has more.
On the wildly popular Jerry Springer Show, which ran from 1991 to 2018, guests aired their domestic issues in public before a live studio audience.
Sierra, what's going on?
I'm here today to find out if my fiancé, Ty, has been cheating on me.
Ooh.
Why do you think he has?
Springer was born in London during World War II and emigrated to the US with his parents when he was a child. The success of the Jerry Springer Show led to a British spin-off in 2005, which in turn inspired an Olivier Award-winning musical. Springer went on to host other TV series, including America's Got Talent and the courtroom show Judge Jerry. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
Ride-hailing company Lyft is the latest major firm to announce it's cutting jobs. San Francisco-based Lyft announcing today it will shave another 1,000 jobs on top of a round of layoffs in November. Latest cuts, according to a report by the Wall Street Journal, amounting to 26% of the company's employees. Lyft has struggled to keep up with larger rival Uber, which gained market share during the pandemic by offering services outside the U.S. and diversifying into food delivery service. A major up session on Wall Street today. The Dow rose 524 points to close at 33,826. The Nasdaq jumped 287 points. The S&P was up 79 points. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
We'll be right back. trombonist Michael Deese opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio, a piece called Rio Mio, written by Greg Hill. The album, The Other Side, the music of Greg Hill from trombonist Michael Deese. Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams. Thank you for joining me this evening on Jazz in the Night. In about 10 minutes, a foray into the vinyl vault for a terrific LP from 1960 by alto saxophonist Art Pepper. And up next, the Mike Wofford Holly Hoffman Quintet. Mike, the pianist, Holly, the flute player, with trumpeter Terrell Stafford, bassist Rob Thorson, and drummer Richard Sellers. This album called Turn Signal came out just over a decade ago. And from it, a piece by the great Bobby Watson, Casey's own, with Bobby's piece, Carita, here, Mike Wofford, Holly Hoffman Quintet on KPR.